What up, playa? Welcome back to Tuck's Take. Guys, this episode is going to be fantastic. It's going to be huge. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, for real, though, it's going to be great. That was a terrible Donald Trump impression. What the heck was I doing? But really, it's going to be a great episode. This is one of my favorite ones. This is the first episode I've done with somebody that was outside of my circle, outside of my people. I did not know him at all. And so I was pumped to get to sit down with somebody I didn't know and see how that went. And it went amazing. You know, I'll be honest. I sat down. I was getting my equipment set up. Boom. My mic stand breaks. And I'm pretty devastated at first because I'm thinking, I want this to sound good. It's not going to sound good. What's going to happen? You know, I'm going to have to hold the mic now. I hope it don't sound bad. But you know what? I didn't care. After just a few minutes, I was like, Tucker, life is not about what happens to you. It's about how you react to it. It's about how you handle it. So I just did the best I could. I rolled the punches and it turned out awesome. And so I just want you guys to sit back and enjoy this. And before we get started introducing our guest, I have to tell you about TucksTakePodcast.com. Guys, I just introduced all kinds of merchandise. You can get the original Tuck's Take t-shirt with the logo front and back. You can get the Nobody Cares Work Harder t-shirt because that's what life's about, baby. Nobody cares about what how much you're struggling. They want you to work harder, so let's work harder. And, you know, we got beanies, hats, t-shirts, book bags, kids' shirts. It's everything on there at TucksTakePodcast.com. You don't want to miss out. You want to place your order right now before we run out. But I just had to let you guys know about that. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Tuck's Take Podcast. And don't forget to like us on Instagram or follow us on Instagram at Tuck's Take. You got to get involved with all the social media platforms so we can spread the love, spread all these amazing guests around so everybody can see them. But this next guest is huge. He is involved in so much stuff here in Chattanooga. He has a business, Fit Plus Restaurant, where you come in, sit down, get you a nice healthy meal. Where they have all those new teas and, you know, all these healthy meals that they make right there in-house. And we talk about that in this episode. And he has Fit Plus Meals, which is where he does the meal prepping and he preps everything for you. You just pop it in the microwave, eat it, and enjoy it. And, man, I tell you what, I walked in there into the restaurant to record the podcast, and that food smelled delicious. And, you know, this big boy was hungry as soon as he smelled it. But for real, it looked good. And, you know, he also has a cryptocurrency business where he advises other people on cryptocurrency. And we get into that because I don't have a clue about cryptocurrency. And he just does everything. He has his hands in everything. It seems like everything he touches just grows and flourishes. And I think that has a lot to do with who he is as a person, because he's a good person. I can tell just by sitting down and talking with him and just hearing his life experiences. So I hope you guys sit back and enjoy this, whether you're driving to work or whether you're at work and or you're at home with the kids, whatever you're doing, guys, sit back and enjoy this. And let's hear what Andy Peters has to say, because Andy is full of knowledge. Let's go. So I'm super excited to be sitting down with you, man. I've been, I've been following you for a long time because I've been typing that a lot in messages, and it sounds like the creepiest thing you can say.
That's creeper status.
Yes, but I have to put on social media behind that phrase, otherwise I feel super creepy. But I've been following you on social media for a long time, and I know you through family, friends, and stuff, but I'm super excited to get to sit down with you finally because I see, you know, we talked before this, and you juggle a lot.
Yeah, man.
And you have a lot of businesses. But you're also such a good family man. And so there's a lot on the table, let's put it that way. And so there's a lot I want to cover because in this, you know, through my life, I figured out that people are who they are because of what they've been through, their experiences in life, their raisings. And so I can see who you are for the most part. We're going to get into that more, but I'd like to get to know Andy. Get to know awesome. Who you are, and I think a lot of people would like to know that.
Yeah, let me mute my phone.
No problem. And so, first, let's just, you know, I know you're from here in Chattanooga, but, you know, what's mom and dad like?
Yeah, so mom and dad both born here in Chattanooga. Our family outside of that all moved here once my grandparents got married. My mom's parents both lived here in Chattanooga, you know, majority of their life. And then my dad's parents, you know, were split between, you know, Michigan and up north in that area. And then just figured they were going to start a family, you know, here in Chattanooga. It was a cheaper, you know, it's a cheaper lifestyle right. to live here than it is New York.
And, absolutely.
And, you know, places in Michigan and whatnot. Absolutely. So it just made sense. Really pretty, you know, everyone in the business, I mean, everyone in the family is kind of business-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's owned in business within my family.
Really?
My dad did work for another gentleman in some textile businesses and stuff for a couple of years, and then just went and started his own thing. So it's always been in the family to own your own business and do your own thing.
So you kind of come from business-minded people. What are those businesses that they owned?
Yeah, so they had a pest control company. They've had landscaping companies. They've had engineering, you know, fabrication top companies. They've had architecture, wow. you know, companies. I mean, it was all over the place.
So you come from a very diverse background.
Very, very. And that's kind of what makes the things I do a little bit unique, because I've got the meal prep business that we're here at today. I've got the cafe side of it. I've got, you know, the investment side of things I do. I've got a fabrication company that we do. My wife and I both have consulting companies that we do. We still do coaching, you know, through life coaching and things. So, I mean, there's so many things we're involved in. It's funny because people are like, you're involved in finances and stocks and cryptocurrencies, but yet you're also in the kitchen cooking food.
Right,
we're like,
right.
it's two totally different spectrums. Because most people in the finance field aren't touching a restaurant. And most people in the restaurant business are not touching,
right.
you know, that side of
well,
things.
Well, they say so. That most restaurants, when they do fail, it's because people don't know how to handle their books. It's just, usually the finance
yeah, well,
part of it.
That, and it's funny because I find that a lot of restaurants or food industry, I mean, well, food businesses in general that fail is because the passion. It takes a lot
right.
to run a restaurant business, and just as far as having passion for what you're doing. There's a lot of ones that just, they shortcut everything.
Does having so many different businesses help keep those individual passions lit?
It does, yes and no. The passion for this switched a lot. When I say this, the food company, mm-hmm. because in the beginning, my passion was, you know, just strictly own, you know, watching smiling faces and people be happy, because let's admit, you know, you give people food. If it's good food, they're happy.
Hey, food makes the world go round.
Yeah, you're exactly. never going to see someone sit down at dinner, and I always use pizza, you know, sit down, you eat this massive pizza that's just hot, it's amazing, and if they're in a bad mood, they're going to get in a good mood.
Oh, absolutely.
You're never going to see someone in a bad mood eating pizza unless it's just bad pizza.
Absolutely.
And so that my passion was just seeing people happy, and then it turned when I started seeing what other companies were feeding people, and they were using garbage. I mean, let's be honest, there's meal prep companies even here in town that source the worst food you could possibly put in your body.
They're more worried about making a dollar.
That's
than
it. Their passion is the dollar. And it's like when I see a delivery truck go to a competitor of mine, I'm like, they deliver food to jails and cafeterias. And that's what you're feeding people.
Wow.
But because it has a pretty label, people assume what they're eating is healthy for them.
Right.
It's like, so my passion then changed quickly. That, okay, my passion now has to be, I'm feeding you for the longevity of your life.
Right.
To keep you alive, to keep you healthy, to where you're not just falling over dead over a heart attack, or now you're a diabetic, you know. So your passion starts to switch.
Well, I can kind of see, you know, the one thing that kind of tied all your businesses together was helping people.
Exactly. That's
and,
it.
And, you know, like even with Chatter Crypto,
yep.
you know, I saw that. And it's like, well, first you were doing cryptocurrency, and then it turned into how can I help other people do crypto?
Exactly.
And then this is how can I help other people eat, you know, clean. And, you know, you've been in the fitness industry for a long time.
Very long time.
And so, it, you know, that turned into how can I train people?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the one thing that I noticed, you know, you were like, seemed like the most giving person. As I'm doing my research, I'm looking around, I'm like, you know, I saw an article that said that you fed people who were, I think it was a structure fire or something, and you
yeah,
fed
yeah.
people that were involved in that. And it's like the one thing that was helping people. So where do you think that came from?
Man. Both sides of my family, it's pretty crazy. You know, normally when you sit down and you talk about a side of the family, you've always got the one side of the family that will give more than the other.
Right.
You know, whereas in mine, it was always like my grandmother on my dad's side of the family was always the giving one. I mean, if she didn't know you, but I brought you to her house, and you were like, look, I need help with this, this, and this, or I can't pay this bill, she would write you a check, no questions asked, because she didn't want you to be stressed. And then on my mom's side of the family, you know, my grandfather was the one. He's, you know, he's given people vehicles. He's given them a place to stay. He's taken houses that, you know, was maybe a rental house and let people just stay there and live in it. And seeing that my whole life, I come from a blessed family. You know, our family's never struggled per se, but I watched the people that struggled that they helped. And it was like, you know, if we can help people that we know or give them a way to, whether it's eat healthy, find a way to make extra money, you start to see a snowball effect. And, you know, a good principle here at Fit Plus is I tell people, when you come in and spend money with us, you're not just spending money and then we're taking that money and living this crazy lifestyle. We actually give back here. So in 2019, we end up giving close to almost $100,000 back to the Chattanooga community with, like, things you said, feeding, you know, the victims of the fire too. There's churches that come in here and they're like, look, I've got a member in our congregation and her husband was diagnosed with cancer. You know, we're like, well, we'll feed them for 3 months, you know, and we do that. So by giving back to the community, it's like you're, when you come here to buy food, you're supporting your local community a lot more than you know. So it's just instilled from me, from a little kid, just giving back.
And I can, you know, so you see that as you grow up and then now you're doing it and you see your kids see that every day. And so how have you seen that affect your children?
Huge. I've got a video. I've not posted it on social media yet, but I need to. I keep saying I'm going to do it this week, and I keep forgetting. But my daughter, you know, I tell her, since I'm being cryptocurrency, anytime that, you know, Bitcoin hits a milestone, I give each of my kids $1,000 to do whatever they want to do, which seems a little over, you know, a little bit too much for a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old. But what they use their money for blows people's minds. So my son wanted to give all of his money to his sisters. So he wanted to split it up and give it to his sisters because he's like, Daddy, I don't need anything. And then my youngest wanted to give all of her money to my oldest.
Your oldest is going to make that good.
Every dime. And then when I went to Lainey and asked her, Lainey, what are you going to do now? Because your brother gave half and half, and then now your youngest sister gave you all of it. What are you doing? And she said, I want to buy blankets and jackets for the community kitchen and go take food to them. And I was like, all of it. And she said, every dime, Dad.
That's got to warm your heart.
So, it had me in tears in the video, because that's something that I want my kids to see, is that just because you have extra money doesn't mean you have to blow it on stuff you don't need. Like, my kids have everything they could ever want. They've got toys. I mean, granted, they could have more toys.
Of course.
They could have more, you know, motorcycles and dirt bikes and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, they realize that they're blessed a lot more than a majority of today's kids. So by giving back, you know, and my daughter's, you know, focus was, I want to do it to kids. And I'm like, well, babe, if we buy jackets and stuff, we can buy kids jackets and all that. But it's a majority of older people, too, you know, that go there. And she's like, that's fine, Daddy.
But what's going to be great is that's going to carry over into their adult life the same way it does for you. So you say you could have more toys, you can have more games, but you can have more money.
Exactly.
And they could when they get older, they're going to think, I could have more money, but I want to help these people.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, I think that's one reason why I really wanted to have you on and talk about that, because you know, I'm sure there are other businesses that do that, but I want to make sure that that's emphasized, because I think that's what matters is, you know, the reason why you're a business is because your community comes in and eats at your restaurant.
That's it.
And, you know, that's a huge deal that you give back to them and you help where you can. I think every business should be that way. That's a great business model to live by. And, you know, and I love that your kids see that, because they're going to grow old and hopefully they're going to open businesses just like you did.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, and they give back the same way you do.
I really do.
So, you know, I know that your kids are a big part of your life through social media and stuff like that. And I'm a father. I know what kids mean to you, and they're life changing. So, you know, did you own businesses before your kids came along?
I did. So I had my first business when I was 18 years old.
What was that?
A supplement company.
Okay.
So it was something that, I mean, it wasn't on a big scale of things. I basically found a company that would white label supplements for me. And the way that they would white label is I could order, you know, a minimum of $5,000 at a time. And they would label them for me and send them to me. And then I just turned around and started selling them.
Right.
And I'm hand selling them at this point. You know, I don't have an online store, nothing crazy. I'm putting them in gyms and, you know, places that I knew around town. And then that led to getting connected with bigger people in the industry. And then once I was 22 years old, then that's when I had a full-fledged, you know, we had a building in Twain Harte Valley, California for stocking, and we ship stuff all across the U.S., and then we actually started white labeling for other supplement companies.
Wow.
So it kind of snowballed.
So you became what you needed.
Exactly. And then we got bought out. We had two companies, and both companies got bought out, and then that just fell into other things with my dad and other businesses.
How did that first business boost your other businesses?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Because I was able to use the funds from that business to then build the other business. And I basically was just a stepping stone. And I did all this too while I was working at Unum, which I worked at Unum for 15 years. Well, almost 15 years. I started working there when I was 17 years old.
What was the point you gave Unum up?
I gave Unum up in 2014.
But what was that trigger point, August. That thing that made you jump off that cliff and say, I'm not going to be an employee anymore, I'm just going to be a business owner?
Can we be blunt on this podcast?
Absolutely. That's what it's about. It's about authenticity.
Yeah, well, good. My director at the time, Drew, I'll name drop him. couldn't stand the dude.
Right.
He was one of those guys that just, he held himself higher than everyone there and treated everyone like they were below him. And it was kind of the pushing edge to just like, why am I here?
Right.
You know, because I'm working this job, which was an amazing job. I loved, a fair share of people that I worked with, a lot of backstabbers. The people that see and they're like, oh, hey, I love seeing what you and your family's doing. And then the moment, you turn around, they're sending out emails to people talking about how crappy of a person you are and how right. fake you are right. and all this stuff. Because since the lifestyle wasn't happening to them,
they're jealous.
They assume that it couldn't happen to anyone else.
Right.
So I was pretty much at that breaking point of, I've got several businesses outside of here that crush what I make here in a year. So why am I here? And I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, quitting because I'd been there for so long. It's like I'd made friends with a majority of people that I liked. It was an easy job. You go in, you do your work, you go home, you leave, and it's paying for my other jobs that I'm starting.
Right.
So, for 10 years, I didn't even use a single paycheck from there. For 10 years, when I got paid, it went in my savings account. And wow. I just let it sit because I had other businesses right. that I was living off of. So it's kind of the perfect,
Was it a safety net, though?
A massive safety net.
Right.
Because while I knew other businesses were doing well, if any of those failed or if anything happened, I've still got my corporate job to rely on. So one day, my daughter, she was 4.5 at the time, almost 5, and I'm sitting there, we're going to bed, and she's like, Daddy, tomorrow I want to get up and I want to go to the playground. She's naming all the things she wants to do. I'm like, Baby, tomorrow's Monday, I got to go to work. But Daddy, can you not stay home with me and Mommy? And I was like, no, but I got to go to work every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I was explaining to her, this is how we pay for things. This is how we pay for our house, the cars, and all that. Which, she kind of knew you have to pay for something because she saw money a lot.
Right.
But she didn't understand that you exchange your time for money. And when I explained that to her, you saw her just kind of nodding and whatnot. So Monday comes, I go to work, hold on yards, do what I do, come home. And then that day, Daddy, tomorrow can we go to the playground? I said, Baby, I can't. Daddy has to go to work. And being your typical dad, I'm getting frustrated. You can't keep asking me every day, can I stay home? I have to go to work. And I'm showing her on the calendar, these days and these days. So we're going to start putting X's here. And when we get to Saturday, Daddy's free for you. She was our first kid at the time.
Not only that, there's a lot of hurt that comes with those.
There is.
But the denying that desire for
there's a lot of hurt when you start seeing those X's build up. And you're like, I'm getting to really spend 2 solid days with my kids. That's it. And we go to bed. And in the middle of the night, she comes in our bedroom to lay down with us. So she lays down in the middle of the bed, whatnot. The alarm clock goes off. I'm getting up. And she comes over and gives me a big hug and squeezes me. And she says, Daddy, you don't have to go to work today. And I was like, Baby, I have to. It's an X. Remember, it's an X on the calendar. We got to go to work. And she's like, No, Daddy, look. And she pointed on my nightstand. And she brought her piggy bank in there when she climbed in bed with us. Mm. And she said, Daddy, I can buy your time.
Oh, that's got to hurt.
And when she said that, I'm like, hold up. She's not even a teenager yet, and she understood that she had to, that if she bought my time, Daddy could stay home.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling to feel like that your kid feels like she has to buy your time.
And I was in tears, and got up, did my normal routine, got my coffee, got dressed, took a shower, got dressed, went to work, and I was about halfway to work and called Hannah, which is my wife, and I said, I'm quitting my job today. Just like that. There was no plan. There was nothing. And my wife's always supported me 100%. And she said, okay, if that's what you feel will be good for you and our family, I support it 100%. So, okay, and that was it. And I pulled in the parking garage and got out and walking in knowing that I was quitting my job. It was the best feeling ever.
Was there any fear among that?
It's gotta be
a scary thought.
I had a little bit of fear. So when I got off the phone with her, I did call my dad. Mom and dad have always been, big supporters of everything I've done. And I told them what I was wanting to do. And my dad was like, well, son, as long as you've got a game plan, then you shouldn't be scared and you should be good. He's like, and you've been saving money for years. For 10 years, I hadn't spent a dime. The last, 4 years into that time, I'd used a lot of money to buy, cars here, buy things and dump money into other business ventures. But for 10 years, I hadn't touched a thing.
Right.
He's like, so if you just live a normal life, you've got 10 years to live off of. And I was like, well, I don't have a plan. And he was like, son, you can't do this without a plan. And then my mom, she's on speakerphone. She's like, there's nothing you've ever said that you wasn't going to do that you didn't do. So I say quit.
Well, you've already proven yourself as a business person.
So I did. I went in and, called a meeting together with a couple of people on the team and the higher ups and told them it was my 2 weeks notice. And that was that. And I felt like, Yeah, I would say it feels like 100 pounds lifted off of you. I can't even explain how much weight it
did that.
Like
did that give you more of a drive as an entrepreneur, as a business person, to go out there and start more businesses and make those things that you already had grow more?
Almost opposite.
Really?
I didn't want to do anything.
You just want to spend time with your kids?
I just wanted to live.
Right.
Because, you know, I was always, from a kid growing up, I started, you know, riding dirt bikes and racing dirt bikes right there at the 6 to 8 years old. And then started getting heavy into racing at 10 and 11. So we traveled all over the place, you know, racing dirt bikes on the weekends, practicing during the week. And then that turned into exercising, to then turn into a teenager, traveling more, exercising, traveling, to, you know, having to fit school in, to quitting high school to race dirt bikes. And then leaving that, going into work. And then working corporate at 17 while still juggling, racing and traveling and going places, and then creating businesses. To when I was, you know, you fast forward now to when I was quitting in 2014, I'm 32. I'd never had a college or summer break because I was always traveling and working. I never had the typical 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old college life of being able to go to school and study, but then partying on the weekends. I couldn't party because I was traveling with my grandfather to race dirt bikes, or I was having to go to work the next day. I had a corporate job at 17. So it's like...
So someone suddenly put the brakes on.
Yeah, I was like, I just want to live. I'm 32. And I never experienced a college life. I never experienced a normal summer break of getting to sleep in.
Right.
Nothing my whole entire life. So we took 2 years off and didn't do a thing. We sold all of our businesses, any investments that we were in. We had a couple of small businesses here in Chattanooga that we were investors in. Basically sold our portion, pulled out 100%. And my wife and I just traveled with two kids for 2 years.
That's a huge blessing to be able to just be with your family, though.
It was amazing.
That's a luxury that nowadays you cannot afford.
You can't. And it's I have my oldest daughter. I missed, you know, 4.5 years of her life. I can never get it back. And I've been journaling since I was 15 years old, and I can go back and read my own books, you know, of my life. And it's like I will call myself a crappy dad during that time. Because I didn't put her first. I put money first. I put a lifestyle first, then my daughter. And it took me hearing the words out of her mouth of buying my time before I took it serious. Since her, my son, I've got to see everything he did. Walk, you know, his first words, everything. My youngest, I've seen everything of her life because I wasn't focused on that. And it's funny, I'll show you here on my phone. I've got a reminder right there. It says the post about parenthood. And if you click on that, that was something I made back in November. And I still have a post I've not even put on social media about parenthood because it's so easy. I see people on social media all the time. They're like, oh, I got to go back to work now. You know, I was on maternity leave or even, you know, staying home with my kids. But now I have to go back to work. This is horrible. I'm going to miss this. Why do we think that way?
Right.
Like, why do we say that's normal? You know, it's like our kids don't determine that we want to drive a new vehicle. Our kids don't determine we want to live in this new house we have to work to afford. Our kids don't determine we want to take 6 vacations a year.
Absolutely.
They want us home as a parent. So if you want to spend time with your kids and you don't want to work 50, 60 hours a week, find out what is in your life that you can sacrifice until they turn 6, 7 years old and now they're in school. Then you can do whatever you want to do.
Right, absolutely.
Because you're going to miss that time. So that was kind of my big thing was I'm willing to scale back my life, whatever that means. If that means we got to live in a 1,000-square-foot house, if that means we've got to drive used vehicles, I'll do it if I don't have to work as much and I can spend more time with my kids. Now, fast forward now, we live in a nicer house. And we could have had those nicer things, but it would have put a crunch on our life.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of my...
So, you know, you have this strong desire to be a good father, and I had that too because I didn't have my father.
Yeah.
You know, or I had a dad, but, you know, my parents got divorced. He was no longer in my life as much. And long story short, you know, I had that strong desire to be a father because of what that's happened to me.
Yep.
But, you know, was your father super present in your life? I know you had him, but was he a very busy businessman?
Man, that's talking about my dad is one of those things that's always been tough for me, always. Because growing up, you know, my dad was there a ton financially and responsibility, but being there for me, his words of encouragement were there, but he physically wasn't there. And I held a lot against my dad. I mean, I still remember being 12, 14 years old, you know, and I would always throw rocks at him, you know, always. He'd come home and, you know, my dad, I'm not seeing you all week. And he's like, son, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. And I'm like, God, dad, I hate you. You just work too much. You're never home. I mean, like, it was bad. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't till I was about probably 16 years old. He took me to work one day with him. And when I say work, it was a business that he owned. And they were making fabricated, like, air ducts and for air conditioner units and stuff in his plant. And I got to see what he did. And, you know, there he's got, you know, pictures of me and my brother. And he's got things. And it was just, I'll never forget that day as long as I live. And Aerosmith songs are playing on the radio. And I start getting emotional. And, you know, it's like, he tells me, son, I'm doing everything I can for you and your brother. You know, and it wasn't against my dad. It was how his family was always raised. His family was always raised, you work for your kids. You work for your kids to where when they get older, they don't have to work as hard. So he was setting me and my brother up for success, and we didn't know that. We looked at it as, you're not home, we hate you.
Right, so in the moment it's very hard, but looking at where your life is now, there's great value in the things.
Man, I mean, once I turned like 16, 17, and I started to, you know, being able to go to work with my dad, going out to eat with dad, and our relationship got closer. And I mean, now, me and my dad are probably closer than we've ever been. We text constantly, we talk constantly, and you know, I was growing up, I just always wanted to hear my dad tell me, son, you've made me proud. And I mean, he tells me that constantly now. And, you know, which my dad did retire at a young age. So, I mean, by the time I was about 18, I mean, he was done. Like, he didn't work anymore. Everything he did was just helping other friends and projects and stuff. So, I mean, you know, to have your dad retired and done at 18 years old, my dad was still young. I mean, he was like,
right.
I think late. He quit his like job at 38, 39 years old.
Oh, he's got his whole life to live, absolutely.
Yeah, and then, you know, started doing other things to help friends, and that fell into, you know, like, hey, I'm starting a company, John, can you come and help me? So my dad goes and helps, and that turns into, hey, you've been working here for 3 years. My dad's like, no, I don't. I come and go as I please.
Right,
no
absolutely.
One pays me anything. So,
that work for you,
you know,
man?
So I mean, he did things like that. So, I mean, I always say dad retired young, but he technically never retired because he just likes working on things.
I've always liked to think of his retiring as, you don't have to work, but you can if you want to.
Exactly,
That's what he did.
Yeah, exactly. That's all he did. And, you know, it's like I said, my dad has given me and my brother and, you know, my mom just an amazing life that set us up for success. And that's something I wanted to do for my kids, but I wanted to do it a little differently. You know, I wanted to be present, but it has a lot to do with mentality. You know, as you know, when you interview people for these podcasts, generations of my dad's was work, work, work. You provide for the family. And, you know, now it's like with access to the internet and things that we have, you don't have to be away from your family all the time if you don't want to.
Right, absolutely.
You know, there's careers that can keep you around your family.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, dad was, like I said, I can talk about him all day because he's the main guy now.
Would you say your dad is that person that you tried to emulate, you know, as a person?
All day. It was, I wanted to be a version of my mom, my dad, my grandfather, and grandmother. I wanted those four characteristics because they were geniuses, super loving, kind-hearted, would give people second, you know, third chances. So I try to take a piece of all the people growing up that played a major part in my life and just say, if I could take all of them and create one person, who would that person be? And it's like, I'd want that person to be me. So
that's a good person to be. You got a lot of diversity going on inside of you. That's awesome. So what are all the, you know, I know we're here at FitPlus, and I know you have Chat at Crypto. What are the other active businesses that you are, you know, in right now?
Yeah, so right now I work with the PIP Connect, which is a group that I've created for helping people in the foreign exchange market and cryptocurrency. Started one called Carbon Connect, which works hands-on with a broker called Carbon Capital, where we work on foreign exchange markets and cryptocurrencies and stocks and whatnot. Got FitPlus, which is the cafe. Got FitPlus Mills. We've got two independent consulting firms that my wife and I work with for helping them with employees, basically like life coaching them through things, because some of these employees just, they're pissed off at the world,
right,
and they're pissed off for nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, they come into work just mad. It's like, well, what are you mad about? And, you know, well, I hate my job. I hate this. It's not that they hate their job. They're miserable with themselves. And once we can, you know, find out what those things are, they start loving their job. You know, their marriage gets better. Their relationship with their kids get better. So we work with that. And then we've got APC Chat, which is Andrew Peters Consulting, Chattanooga, that we work with. And we work with different car companies to manufacture fabricated parts for performance and aftermarket, some OEM. So got a little bit of
You're all over the place.
Everywhere, man everywhere.
So this was the first one that I saw you, FitPlus was the first one that I kind of watched you from social media develop and stuff. And
of course, through my research, I saw the supplement company that you did, and that was your time in bodybuilding and things of that nature. How did you get into cryptocurrency? You know, I saw a social media post where you said your family has been in trading for a long time.
So my family's been in trading for a really long time. Hannah's uncle was real big into Bitcoin when it first came out. I mean, like, when I say first came out, on paper, like paper wallets.
right.
And he kept trying to get me into it. And I'm like, this is dumb. Why would you put your money in something where you don't hold on to an asset, like physical in your hands?
Right, absolutely.
And he was like, well, you don't do that now. You put your money goes into a direct deposit and you swap a card. You're not holding your cash.
Absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, I get that. But if I want my cash, I can go to the bank and get it. If I want my Bitcoin, I can't hold it. And there was a lot of education that had to happen. And throughout the years, just came in touch with some friends and they told me about it. So I'd bought some here and there. And it wasn't until 2016 that I really started taking it serious in as far as cryptocurrency, and just started buying up stuff. I mean, it was cheap, you know. Some coins were $11, some were $9, some were $30, and you know, Bitcoin at that point was like $300-$400. I think at one point it got maybe as high as like $600. So I mean, we're just buying, and then into 2017, you wake up one day and you're like, holy crap.
So can you explain to people that don't really know what cryptocurrency is or how it works, you know, a little bit of the foundation of it so people can understand exactly what you're talking about?
Yeah, so I mean, I tell people, the easiest way in layman's terms, it's a digital currency that basically is within the blockchain, which is a lot of computers talking to each other, and they're keeping an anonymous, you know, active ledger online. I say it's anonymous. I mean, they still have the addresses and everything, but it keeps things from happening. You know, in America, you've got issues with people stealing money from banks, robbing businesses, identity theft, to money laundering, all this stuff. Whereas with cryptocurrency, you can't fake it. You can't just make a fake Bitcoin. You have a Bitcoin, that's it. You know, you can't fake a transaction. You know, if I give you $50, I can hand you $50 of fake cash, and you're not gonna know that till you go try to spend it or take it to a bank.
Right, absolutely.
If I pay you $50 worth of Bitcoin, you know it comes to your wallet, and there's an active trail behind it.
I think that the biggest thing that people always say about cryptocurrency, and I don't know a lot about, I'm very financially illiterate, I will say that. Come from a long line of people who are as well. So, but they say, well, what gives it its value? And I'm sure most people who say that don't even know what gives our US dollar value.
Supply and demand, that's it.
So the more people that buy crypto, the greater the value?
Correct, because there's only a limited amount of it. Unlike the dollar, where we just keep printing it, you know, there's really not much legs we have to stand on with the dollar bill. I mean, we continue just printing off money after money after money. I mean, as we see through this whole political thing going on right now, you know, they're giving, there's creating money out of thin air. And
I think I saw something like, 40% of all the US dollars in circulation were printed in like the last 4 months, something like that.
It's unreal. It's unreal what we're doing. So with, you know, Bitcoin, I mean, there's not enough Bitcoin for every American to have one, and there's not enough Bitcoin for every millionaire to have one. So when you start thinking about that, it's like, that's pretty rare. And excuse me. And one day it's going to be one of those things where it's just a bragging piece. You're like, oh man, you got one Bitcoin.
So yeah. Bitcoin is just one type of cryptocurrency, correct?
Correct. There's many out there.
And
many.
You know, people say that it's the future of currency. But you say that there's not enough for everybody to have one. So how is that possible? Not.
So you'd be purchasing a smaller amount. Like you can buy $10 of a Bitcoin. You can buy $20 of a Bitcoin. It's just the price of it increases so much, so you're buying smaller pieces at a time.
Right.
I mean, you know, like back in March, you know, you could have bought a Bitcoin for $3,800. And as of, well, this morning, it went down a lot. But I mean, as of last night, you had to have $39,000 to buy one Bitcoin.
So if you have X amount of Bitcoin, can you cash out of that
all
Bitcoin?
Day?
So you can get it in real
takes
US?
Like, takes like not even a minute.
Wow, okay.
And your money's in your bank. I mean, it takes a minute to walk through the process depending on the amount. With companies like, you know, Coinbase and PayPal and all of them, you can do instant deposits and you have it within 10 minutes. It's in your bank account.
So it just converts it from cryptocurrency to
USD
dollar.
All day. And then there's people that, you know, we use like Gemini, and it's a wire transfer and it happens the next day and the money's in your bank account and you go and get it.
Why do people have this idea that it's so difficult or so, you know, like a lot of people don't even know that. A lot of people think it's just a thing on the internet. And you
I think we make things difficult for ourselves. We make everything difficult.
I would say that for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's, and I say that because we make it difficult because most don't want to put in the time to research why they think it's difficult. You know, it's like when people come here and they're like, hey, I need to lose X amount of weight or I need to do this, what do I need to do? Eat less. That's it.
Exercise more. Yeah.
That's it. And they're like, well, I mean, surely there's got to be a science to it. And I'm like, well, I mean, there is. You just eat less and exercise more. The reason you gained weight was because you exercised not enough and you ate more. Oh, that's it? I'm like, yeah. So the same would go to anything else. Is, you know, when I talk to people about Bitcoin, you know, they're like, well, I'm just afraid I'll lose my money. Lose your money how? They're like, well, I put it in there and then Bitcoin just disappears. Same could happen in the dollar bill.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I mean, people could steal it. People could take it. People could rob you. They could identity theft. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen. Now, what scares people is they know that if they're holding a $5 bill in their hand, the value of that $5 bill is not going to change. It's still going to stay a $5 bill. If you're holding $5 worth of Bitcoin in your hand, I mean, it could be worth $10 tomorrow. It could be worth $2.80 the next. But we also have to remember that $5 bill might not change in value, but what you can buy with it can.
Right.
So $5, rewind back 20 years ago, could buy you a loaf of bread, some, you know, cheese. I mean, you can make a sandwich out of it.
Right, absolutely.
And now that $5, you're lucky to buy a loaf of bread with it, you know?
Absolutely. So talk about people wanting to come in and you just basically tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with the way people are taught nowadays. School and even colleges, you're just spoon-fed. You know, it's these are the answers, these match this question.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's that's more like a learning issue than it is.
Well, the easiest way to control people is to have them do nothing. If you can tell someone everything to do, I mean, we're told when we wake up in the morning, we're told what we're going to wear. We're told what we're going to eat. If there's not many people that wake up in the morning and don't jump straight on their phone. I did a class right before COVID with some college students and I asked about their day. And that was about the same thing. They're like, oh, I mean, before my feet hit the floor, I'm already on social media.
Absolutely.
And it's already it's already dictated their day on everything. They see an outfit that they want, they may buy it. They see how someone dresses. They're like, oh, I'm going to wear my hairstyle that way. I mean, it's...
Well, not only that, but it's so easy to look on Facebook or Instagram and you see this person, you know, that looks like they're on top of the world.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like you're on bottom of the world.
Exactly. It changes your whole perception of your day by watching someone else's highlight reel.
Absolutely.
And not seeing what they're going
through.
Nobody
puts their negatives on.
No, they don't. I mean, I don't. If someone asks me, I'll tell them about it all day. I mean, I'm an open book. Talk to me. But I'm not going to put negativity on social media because I feel right now we're already in a negative environment. But my wife and I were laughing, you know, just 5 years ago, you were made fun of if you wore mom jeans. That's what they're called, mom jeans.
Absolutely.
Like, they made fun, they'd call them mom panties, you know, mom jeans, mom shorts, all this stuff. And it's like, we have allowed, like, social media and the branding of these companies to push to these people that hated it. And now you go to the mall and they've got mom shorts, mom jeans. And it's like, it's crazy because they can push whatever they want us to feel. And all it takes is a couple of people to pick it up.
Sometimes I think it's a joke within their company. Like, let's see the dumbest thing we could push out there and see what everyone buys. And everyone's going to suck it up and buy it.
Well, it takes less time. I mean, think about it. When you're making tailored jeans, you know, you look at some of these jean companies just a few years back where they were making tailored jeans to fit, you know, men and women a specific way. You paid a lot of money for it. Now they can make a pair of jeans that can be the slouchiest looking, non-fitted jeans that you could imagine in your life. And they still charge the same amount, and they've got less money in production.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's no brainer for them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they don't care how you look. They care about how their pockets feel.
That's it.
You know, talk about social media and stuff like that. You know, it is very easy to wake up in the morning. I do it because I look at my phone. Oh, there's a text message. I read that text message, and then that finger slides over very easily to that Facebook button or Instagram. And, you know, you're very active on social media.
Very.
How do you keep that from overwhelming your life?
So what a lot of people don't know is I do all of my posting within apps and let them post for me.
So you time
them out. And I'm typically delayed. So, like, you know, I'll post pictures of us out on a Friday or Saturday night. And people are like, dude, I didn't know you were out. You should have told me. I'm like, well, that was 3 nights ago. I'm not typically up to date on all of my stuff. I'm the worst at if you message me, you know, I'm the worst at responding. I'm the worst at everything because I can't be on my phone. If you actually look at my phone on my social media side of things, I'm on social media about 45 minutes a day, max. I mean, I'm not on there much at all. When I do get on there, I just try to hammer out, you know, as much as I can, get it done and be through. But luckily there's apps out there that allow me to time everything to where it works perfectly.
So,
and other people have access to my accounts as well. So
my other people like who? What do you mean?
My wife has one. I've got a PR team that works with photos and stuff and getting things uploaded for me. I've got a girl named Hillary that works for me that helps me on the Fit Plus and Fit Plus Meals and things like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of times where, you know, these people already have access to my photos. And I'm like, hey, if you don't mind, throw a photo up, you know, tag me in it, do a story.
So you use a PR team. What exactly are you, what's that goal you're trying to accomplish with the PR team?
So the PR team that I use is basically to help, you know, with news articles and get things out there for me and tell my story. Make sure I'm staying active on social media because I hate social media. Like, I cannot stand it.
It's so funny to hear you say that because you're,
I know. I hate it. I can't stand it. I think it is the disease of everything we've done in today's society. Everything that's good that it's brought us 10 times bad.
I totally agree with that. I mean, I was just, with all the censorship that's going on right now,
yeah.
And I don't want to get political. I'm not trying to do that. But
you can get political with me because guess what? I'm not a political person.
Well, that's fine. You know, and I'm not trying to be that way,
yeah.
But it's just, for me, it's like, where do you draw the line on who you're censoring?
Yeah.
And so I told my wife, I said, you know, if it was up to me, I would just delete my Facebook and Instagram,
yeah.
And I don't even have a Twitter entirely. But at the same time, it's like, this has ran through it, and
exactly.
People have, my wife has a business that's run through hers, and it's like, man, they've kind of got you over a barrel at that point.
Yeah, I mean, everything I do, social media,
right?
From my meals to, you know, the Forex to the cryptocurrency, everything revolves around social media.
Well, I don't even know how people would hear about the podcast if it wasn't
for
Facebook.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even know it existed.
They wouldn't know
until
about
it. Somebody just stumbles upon it and happens to,
yeah.
You know, I don't even know how life worked before social media, honestly, because
oh, it's
like, word of mouth, I guess, was everything, or TV commercials.
Yeah, it was. TV commercials, newspapers, you know, the packets that they would put in your mailbox.
Yeah, that's it.
But, I mean, yeah, I don't like it because it really puts you out of tune with things. And I've seen that over the last, like, few years of my family. Before social media, my family was real big on getting together for events and having cookouts and all this stuff. But now they feel like they know you so well, they're not missing out
There's
on anything.
There's no point in it now.
It's like, why would we get together? We know what you're doing. You post stuff up all the time. It's like, because we've not met face-to-face. I mean, my kids don't even know some of their cousins.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I've brought it to the family's attention and stuff, and they're like, oh, we'll get together, we'll do it. And then it never happens.
I think that's also a big contributor to that is how fast our world it works now. And,
so fast.
And it's like, I remember when I was a kid, you know, growing up and still to this day, my best friend is my cousin. And we were a month apart and we spent all this time together and all my aunts were always together. And it's like family was always together. It was a big group anywhere we went. And now it's like, it's just me and my wife, you know, and we don't get, you know, together with family a lot. And it, like you say, it's because I saw what you did yesterday. Tucker, I saw what you did the day before that. If you posted it, there's no need to get together.
Yeah, I mean, to tell you how crazy this is, like, my wife, I won't look at her social media. We've had friends, and the friends will tell me, they're like, you know, hey, I just noticed, and I'm like, this is kind of creeper status. They're like, why don't you like any of Hannah's posts? Or if she makes a sweet post about you, why don't you respond? You know, are y'all, like, fighting or mad at each other?
That is definitely creeper status.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, one, I don't want to see your stuff. Because if I do, and she puts a ton of stuff out there, that's her day. Like, I want to go home and say, which, I mean, we work together a majority of the time, you know, but, I mean, there's still 3 or 4 days a week we're not together at the, you know, the restaurant or out and about or whatever.
Right, absolutely.
And I'm like, I'd like to go home and say, hey, how's your day? She said, oh, me and the kids went so-and-so. We went here. What did they do? I don't want to see a video. I don't want to see pictures. I want you to tell me face-to-face what your day was like, what
right.
The kid, you're in your words from your mouth. And, dude, it's been amazing. Like, I used to look at it all the time, and then I'm getting home, and you know, she's like, I'm going to tell you what the kids and I did today. I was like, babe, I watched the video. Y'all went to Coolidge Park and played in the water. Oh, you know, and I just saw that it was just taking so much out of us. It's like, it's almost like I want to block you.
I block my wife on Facebook. You know, I catch myself, and it hurts my own feelings that I catch myself and I'll see my daughter trying to get my attention. Hey, dad, look at what I'm doing. And I'm like scrolling, you know, dead face through Facebook. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Put your phone down. Like, just be present with your kid. And then I saw a picture a while back, and it was an artist, you know, exaggerated illustration of social media. And I'm like, God, that'll make you sick to your stomach because it is you. You know, there's 90% of people out there, it's them.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't want to be that dad. You know, and that goes back to you being present. Well, it's great you're at home, but if your face is stuck in your phone, are you home?
There's people that know what other families and kids are doing more than what they know of their own.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the biggest issue with, you know, we live in a world where, I mean, there's so many people that are cheating on, you know, spouses that are, you know, just doing things that typically you wouldn't see them do.
Right.
And it's because they're searching for that attention. You know, I mean, I can't tell. My wife and I have walked up out of dinner before. We have went to dinner with friends and gotten up and walked away from the table, and they thought we went to the bathroom when we were leaving because everyone was on their phone.
Right.
It's like,
why go to dinner together?
It's like, I can't do this. I've right. asked people to leave my house before because they come over and they're constantly, and they're like, look, I invited you over. I didn't invite your phone over. You know, and I hate, and you know, and there's a part of me, my wife tells me, she's like, you know, that's kind of mean. I'm like, no, I want to experience life. Like, our marriage wouldn't be what it is today if we had had all these distractions when we were dating. You know, we were dating, we had a flip phone. That tells me my age, huh? And I'm 38. And, you know, but with that flip phone, you had text messages, but it was a pain in the butt, and you were only limited to like 200.
You had to push every letter four times.
Exactly.
It
was a pain in the butt. And you didn't have all these notifications coming in. The cameras on the phone wasn't even good enough to take a picture with, so you couldn't upload anything. So, I mean, you literally, when you went to eat dinner, you were present.
There's conversation occurring.
Yes, when you were riding in the car, you were present. When you were out and about, you weren't taking pictures of everything around you, you were present. So, you know, when I fast forward to now, there's so many people in relationships who aren't present with one another because they're worried about who liked that photo. Did someone share my photo? Did someone comment on it? It's like, you're there with the love of your life.
Absolutely.
Put your phone down and experience, because guess what? You may wake up tomorrow, she's not there. And the people on social media don't care. Like, I mean, I've had friends that have passed away, like really close friends, and everyone, you know, you make that post. Everyone makes that post about, you know, I just lost the best friend of my life and all this, but, you know, how much do we really miss that person? Because life goes on. When that person dies, guess what? Life goes on. Everyone lives about their normal life, and I've had people that forget about other friends dying, which sounds horrible.
Absolutely.
You know, I've had people come in Fit Plus, and we're sitting here talking. They're like, man, you know what? I was thinking the other day, we've not seen that Michael guy in a while, and dude, he passed away like 2 years ago, and it just hit me how long he's been gone. I'm like, I think about him every day.
Right.
Like, I think about him every day. And it's like, when you die, there's going to be a lot of people that just forget about you.
Absolutely.
Because they're focused on their own life now.
Yeah, and especially how fast this world goes around.
Exactly. It's like, so just be present with the people you love and enjoy their time. You know, that's just kind of my take on it.
I like that. So you talk about yourself and the flip phone and when you and your wife met.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about you and your wife. How did y'all meet, and tell me about your relationship.
I've known her since I was about 10 months old.
10 months old?
10 months old. So my mom and her mom were friends, you know, growing up. The families all hung out together, went to church together. So, I mean, I've known her since she was basically born. Grew up together in the same church and group of people. And then, you know, as teenagers, you know, you go to different churches. You start hanging out with other friends. You don't see each other. So we didn't see each other for a really long time. And couldn't stand her, thought she was kind of the, you know, spoiled brat, you know, perm in her hair, always, you know, dressed up by her mom and
right.
fingernails painted, thought she was something else. And I was like, yeah, I'm not dealing with this. And then ran into her, you know, when I was in my wheelchair. I had a real bad dirt bike accident. Didn't walk for almost 9 months.
Wow.
And saw her at the movie theater. And I mean, she was cute, but it's kind of like, eh, you know, whatever. I've got horrible eyesight, by the way. So then, so fast forward, I just got back from Atlanta, you know, thought I was tough crap hanging out with my friends down there. And we're walking into Hamilton Place Mall. And like I said, I got horrible eyesight. So I see this girl walking towards me. And I was too, you know, this time I wasn't wearing contacts, glasses, nothing. And I told my friend, I said, I can't see if this girl's really cute or not, but I can tell you based on her outfit, she's bad. You know, short little mini skirt. She had on an Abercrombie & Fitch white t-shirt, you know, all fitted tight, had her hair pulled back with little sunglasses on, flip-flops. And I was like, man, that girl is, she's something else. And I looked at my buddy, I was like, I'm going to get her number. And then when I got within like 10 foot of her, I was like, oh crap, that's Hannah.
Well, I have her number.
I was like, that's horrible. I didn't even have her number because I never wanted to talk to her.
Oh, okay.
And we talked and was like, you know, let's get together sometime and just catch up. And that was kind of the extent of it. We never really did. And then fast forward like a week or two after that, her mom's computer went down and she called my dad to get it fixed. I answered the home phone. And when I did, it was her mom. And then she's like, hey, let's talk to Hannah real quick. I've got to get something out of the kitchen. It's like, hey, you know, good seeing you. We never caught up. We should go out and grab something neat sometime. And then, boom, started hanging out. And that's it.
I will say this. If she listens, she should be very proud. You remember the exact outfit she had on.
I can tell you that's one thing I've been blessed with. It's a blessing and a curse, is photographic memory. Is like, fast forward 5 years from now, I can tell people exactly what you're wearing during this interview.
That's incredible.
But it's a curse too, because everything's extremely vivid in my mind. So,
right.
You know, you lose a family member, or you lose a close friend, or you've got one of those memories that was just so good, and then it's no longer here, it hurts you 10 times more because you remember it all. But yeah, I can call back dates, times,
things you said. That's the blessing and the curse, absolutely.
It truly is, truly is.
So, you know, you have all the success, or y'all have all the success, I should say, because she works here with you. What do you think, you know, I always think that behind every man is a successful man is a stronger woman.
Oh, yeah.
Because my wife, you know, if it wasn't for her, you know, right now she's at home taking care of our daughter and, you know, taking care of the house and doing those things, and she stays at home with our daughter, and they do things that we as men a lot of times can't do, or
hands,
you know,
down.
Right. It's so hard what they do. And so behind every man's a very strong woman. What do you think she's done for your success?
She's kept me alive. I would be dead today if it wasn't for her. Hands down.
Explain.
Hands down.
What do you mean?
So my tendencies of life, as far as the radicalness of things that I've done, to the health of myself and everything, I would have just driven myself into the ground. And I mean, I'd have burned candles on both ends. When I was doing my businesses and coming up without kids, and I'm taking any energy drink I can get, chugging, I'm taking energy pills, taking it. If, you know, when I wanted to do anything, it was like energy. And I was just burning candles on both ends to make it. And she slowed me down. I ended up in the hospital about, I think, four times total through the emergency room.
From the energy drinks?
Just from burning both sides of the candle. I mean, completely just dehydrated and exhausted. To going into just completely like a one time where they thought it was a cardiac arrest, you know, because my heart was so just off rhythm.
It was unreal. You're wearing it out.
I mean, I'm taking ephedrine like it's Tic Tacs because I needed it to stay going. And then it turned into, this is an addiction. Like, you might as well just give me a line of Coke.
Right.
Because I had to have it. There was no ifs, ands, or buts.
I've seen those Facebook posts where you're getting home at 3 a.m., yeah, turning back at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, I would go times without even sleeping. You know, when I worked at Unum, my old boss, Chris Castleberry, he was laughing at me the other day, coming to the house. He's like, I still remember you popping pills, and I was questioning what pills you were taking.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then you're chugging them down, because we didn't have energy drinks like we have now. We just had coffee and, you know, some regular Coca-Cola and stuff, and I was doing everything I could just to be like alert, on top of the game, and not sleep. And so yeah, I mean, one, I would not be here. I'd be dead. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And then, you know, something a lot of people don't know is I went through a really bad state of depression. Went through some really bad depression in 08 and 09, just from businesses not going well. You know, we always talk about the good things, like you
absolutely
said, but we don't,
yep,
talk about the bad things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that people don't know is in 08 and 09, I mean, we about lost everything we had. I mean, everything, to the point that we were actually living with a friend. So here we are married. You know, we're 3 years into marriage, and two of my businesses went belly up. I mean, completely just belly up. I got ripped off by one of my business partners, and they stuck me with a massive tax bill, and then the other one stole a crap ton of money from me. And we had to move in with one of my good friends, Zach Rad, and we lived with him for about 7-8 months. Just to get things in order, like to keep my head straight. And I mean, during that time, it was rough. I mean, really rough.
It isn't about the people that you want to be successful with, about the people that you want to struggle with.
Yeah. So Zach Rad played a massive, massive role into where I am today. Because without him, I mean, my ship probably would have sunk and burned, because I didn't want to talk to my family about it.
Right.
Like, my parents didn't know the stress we went through, because I didn't want my dad to say, "Son, see, I told you." You know, or son, you know, keep your head on straight, do things the right way. Mm-hmm. So we had those hiccups. So, I mean, from the depression, she got me through that, to just being a rock. I mean, she keeps me grounded. She's the force, you know, she's the voice of reason, mm-hmm, so to speak. So
as somebody who, you know, I struggle with depression too.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife, she struggles with it too. You know, I don't want to speak for her, but I will and say that she struggles with it too. And so having somebody that understands you and is there for you, even in those lowest moments,
yeah,
you know, and that's the biggest thing, is you don't feel like you're worth anything at that moment.
No.
But you have to have a person by your side that says, "Hey, I got you. You're worth it to me."
All day.
You know, and that's huge. Right? And that speaks volumes to who she is as a person.
Oh, yeah. She takes on a lot. You know, I mean, you got to think, she's a wife. She's a mom. She's a friend. She's a friend to the kids. She is the, while I'm here late at night sometimes and whatnot, you know, she's the one fixing dinner for the kids. She's doing the laundry. She's keeping the house up. She's taking care of the pets. She's taking care of maybe some of my emails or my businesses that I need to handle. Or she's driving all over town to drop stuff off, go to the bank. You know, so, I mean, there's just – she plays so many cards in one.
Absolutely.
That it's – yeah, I would not be where I am today without her.
Oh, absolutely. As men, we get caught up in what we're doing, these singular things.
Yep.
This business, or this transaction. And I know I do it all the time, and I don't want to speak for you, but I don't forget, but sometimes I need a reminder, like,
oh, yeah.
Look at everything she's done today.
I've taken it for granted. Absolutely. I mean, I've been that husband. You know, I mean, when we first had our, Lainey, our firstborn, I took things for granted because I can juggle things a little differently than she can because I can just forget not to do it.
We think differently.
Yeah, it's like, okay, do I want to give my daughter a bath or do I want to do laundry? Forget the laundry, I'll give her a bath.
Absolutely.
You know, whereas my wife, her mentality is, I've got to get the laundry done and I've got to give her a bath. You know, whereas me, it's like, screw it, I'll do it in the morning. So, I mean, there's just so much more that, women do that they, it's wild.
I always think of it like a computer. You know, we can have one window open at one time. They have the whole screen full of multiple windows and they're all running them at the same time.
Oh, yeah, it's wild.
So, before we end this, I feel like we've got to know you really well, and I'm super appreciative, you being so transparent with us. That's what this is about.
Yeah,
I want to, show some love to your business, the cryptocurrency, because I know that's most relevant thing that you have going on. And from what I looked up, you have memberships to this or something along those lines?
So I did, and I just started giving them away for free. I gave away,
really?
I think, $286,000 worth of free memberships.
Wow.
Is what I gave out, yeah.
So how can people get involved? How does that work?
The easiest way is to go to my Instagram and click on my linked, tree, and just click VIP Telegram, and it throws them right into my group. And then that way they can start learning from people because we've got some good traders in there. We've got a ton of education. I mean, everything. I wanted to create a kind of a self-sustained environment for people because, me, I can only help, one person one-on-one.
Right, absolutely.
Whereas if you've got a group of 100 traders and someone asks a question, you've got 100 people that can help those people. So
people aren't intimidated when they're walking into this big group chat. What kind of people do you have in there? People from all walks of life?
All over the place. People from beginners to professionals, from America to Australia to Dubai. I mean, just all over the place.
And is there any type of amount that they have to spend or anything along those lines?
No, nothing.
So this is the most laid-back cryptocurrency I like. I mean, that's cool. That's awesome.
We have, millionaires, close to billionaires in our group, to people that can only afford to put in $100.
I love seeing your post. I saw one where it was like, guy was like, I made my whole year's salary in one month or something. I mean,
I cried on that one.
That's incredible.
I cried.
Yeah.
I cried on it.
That's incredible. I read stuff like that. I'm like, how do people not get involved in this? This is absolutely life-changing.
Well, it's, I understand everyone's safeguards. There are people who don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because they're just not familiar with investing. And I tell them, it's like anything else. If you want to become a nurse, you study to become a nurse. If you want to become, as yourself, like electrician, you go to school, and you start doing apprenticeships and stuff, and you
get
to electrician. With trading, it's no different than anything else. People think that to be a good trader, you'll hear them say, well, he's just a good trader. He had to study to get there. He had to do something. You just didn't wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm going to become a trader and start trading. It happens over time. Now, there are people in the industry who are blessed more than others. So like, my friend Anthony Williams, the dude's a genius. I mean, visually he can just see things different than most people and he wins. Q Banks, same things. He sees things differently, he can win. But they also have massive losses too. But they know how to juggle that. They know how to juggle their wins and their losses. So it's all about studying. And if someone came to me, and this is how I promote it. If someone comes to you and they're like, look, if you study this for a year, you have the opportunity to trade in a $6 to $7 trillion environment every day, because that's how much money is moved in the foreign exchange market, is $6 to $7 trillion every day. And you could make $500 a day, or you could make $500,000 a day. What do you say? Well, most people go, I just don't know anything about it. Then study. And then you're like, well, it's gonna take a year to do it. They're like, a year's too long. A year's too long to become a millionaire?
Yeah, but a year's gonna pass whether you're doing it or not.
Exactly.
Right.
And they're like, well, I just don't wanna take the risk. And my most favorite thing when someone says that is your biggest risk of your life you overcame this morning when you woke up. Because as humans, we're not promised tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So if you wake up tomorrow, you just beat the biggest risk of your life. And they're like, well, what happens if I do it and fail? Then study more and continue doing it until you succeed. Like money is free if you know how to make it. And depending on how you want to make it, you just go and do it.
Right.
It's just education. And that's something that a lot of people just don't want to spend time doing. They'd rather play video games. They would rather
take easy right out.
I can't tell you how many people who have hit me up on Instagram asking me questions, and I send them all the links of everything to study, and I see them out, and I'm like, hey, have you studied up on it? Have you got it completed? And they're like, ah, well, man, I've just been too busy.
It'd be nice if you could see who opens it, because you probably have people who wouldn't even open it.
Oh, dude, I've got, I mean, and then you can follow their story.
They want you to send them that magical message.
Exactly. Yeah. They want you to send them exactly what you're doing. I mean, there's a lot of people that are like, man, Andy, 2020 changed for you. Huge. How did you do that? And I'm like, well, it's not that 2020 changed. It's that all the work that I did from 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 finally started paying off. It took a long time to get here.
For me, I'm very sports minded. I grew up in sports. And so it's like, I have a guest coming on soon, Patrick Johnson. He's the sack leader at Tulane.
Yeah.
I coached him at Notre Dame. He's going to the NFL draft. And everybody's like, man, he just got huge out of nowhere. No. He's been grinding for 4, 5, 6 years, and that's what people tend to forget. It's like, these people didn't just wake up one morning and become successful.
But see, that's when they notice you.
That's when they notice you.
Exactly. That's when they notice you. It's a prime example of, you know, I always like using, Anthony Williams and Q Banks as an example. And Q Banks is also a prime one because, I mean, you go through Anthony's social media, it doesn't go back as far as Q's, but you go through Q's, I mean, this guy takes you back to 2014 and 15 years old when he was working at Target, driving a little Volkswagen.
Right.
You know, and now the dude is a millionaire, got Lambos and Ferraris, and he's a great dad. He's always with his daughter and having fun and all this stuff. And it's like, people notice him now. And they're like, man, it just seems like overnight you blew up. And it's like, well, overnight is what you saw.
Right.
Start scrolling through those posts and look at all the other stuff he did, and you'll see it took years.
Right.
You know, to get there. It's just, it wasn't in your vision, you know, to see it until they're at their highest peak. And then you're like, ooh, that's cool, you made it there. I want to be there right there with you. What do I do?
I want what you have right now.
Yeah, and you're like, well, it's going to take you 4 to 5 years to get here. And they're like, oh, that's too long. Okay, so just continue doing the same thing for the next 4 to 5 years to be where you're at now.
Right.
You know, it's just...
That's what, you know, I figured that out eventually. It was like, I was going to school, and then I'd quit school because I didn't have time, or I'd be working, and just, you know, life gets busy. And then eventually I sat down with my wife. I was like, time is going to pass me. Whether I'm in school and working towards the goal that I want to work towards or not, or whether I'm doing the podcast or I'm not, time's going to pass by. And I'm going to wake up one day, I'm going to be 50, 60, 70 years old. It's like, I got to start putting these things in my life that I want to be in my life.
And you use that same mentality as a dad.
Absolutely.
It's like, your kids are going to continue growing up and moving on no matter what. Because I hear dads coming here all the time to eat lunch. You know, and they'll talk with their friends. You know, they're like, yeah, I'm supposed to take my daughter out to do X, Y, and Z, but that's just going to have to wait till, you know, I get some free time. Or that's going to have to wait. It's like, your little girl's not going to stop growing.
Right.
Her life's not going to stop because you don't have time. And then you're going to wake up one day and go, God, time went by so fast. No, it's that you didn't give them your time.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's, I get it.
Absolutely. Well, I've loved talking to you, man. I followed you on social media for a long time, and it's finally nice to just sit down and get to talk to you. And I hope that everybody learns something from you, because I think you have a lot to offer.
Dude, I thank you so much, and thanks for having me. This was fun.
Well, Tuck's Take, it always ends with a quote, a mantra. I don't know if you looked up the podcast, but it always ends with, you know, something that you've kind of driven you, lived your life by, a mantra, a thought process. You know, that's usually the title of the episode.
Yeah.
And so what is something that you've always keep in the back of your mind to keep you going every day?
So this tattoo on my arm right here, it's HLTN, and that stands for Happy Living the Now.
Okay. Can you expand on that?
So this was one of my buddy's clothing companies. His name's Josh Grant. Well, it's him and his wife, Josh and Ashley Grant. And they started a clothing company called Hilton. It stands for Happy Living the Now. And it really hit me hard one day when I just started thinking about that. Be happy living in the now. Like, we find happiness in past memories over something good, and then we get happy over something that's going to happen in the future. It's like, oh, we've got a trip coming up. You're happy about that trip, and then the trip gets here, you enjoy it, and it's gone. You're like, oh, energy's gone.
Right.
And then you start thinking about the trip, and you get happy again. It's like, why can't we be happy with now, no matter what it is we're doing? Even if it's something you're not too prone on doing or too happy about, try to find a way to be happy in the now, because that's truly what matters, is the now. Like, it doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow, it may not be here.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what happened yesterday, because it's gone.
It's gone.
So it's like, happy living the now. That's always been my...
Well, if there's anybody that... anything that I hope anybody gets from this is that your mindset, man. I love how you are in the now, like you said. You know, and you really cherish what you're doing. You know, there's a phrase they use in football, and it's be where your feet are.
Yep.
You know, and that's one of my favorite phrases, because it's the truth. It's you know, you can't worry about what you did. You can't worry about what you're going to do. You got to worry about what you're doing right now.
And that holds so many people back. It holds people back in their marriage, you know, because they think about where they were when they were first dating. And they think about how the relationship was on fire. And they think about all this stuff. And you get expectations of the wife and expectations of the husband. And then you think about, oh, man, I used to hold my kids. And now they're growing. You know, we all, everything that we try to think of in the past, typically, if we focus on it too much, can bring us down into a negative state of mind where we're presently at. Because our mind can make up these false pretenses of how great things were. But really, during that time, things really wasn't that great,
exactly.
You know, and I feel that way too. It's like people ask me, they're like, man, what's your next step? Like, what's your next big car? What's your next house purchase? Or what do you and Hannah have next? And it freaks them out when I say nothing. And they're like, what? I'm like, nothing. Because where I'm at today is exactly where I dreamed myself to be when I was a kid. I mean, exactly to be a dad, to have a wife, for all of my family to be healthy. No one is going to bed without food on the table. No one's going to sleep outside. Like, we're not homeless. Right. Things are good. And I was like, I think sometimes we focus too much on making things better that we lose sight of where we're currently at. And it's like, I'm completely happy with where I'm. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to stop helping others grow.
Right.
That's the big thing for me. I want to see other people grow. I want to see other people be successful. I want to see other marriages, you know, be fired up. I want to see better dads. I want to see better moms. But that doesn't mean that I just can't be happy where I'm at. And I just want to soak it in. 2021, I want to see everyone grow around me, but I want to soak in everything around me more.
That's one thing I think that I kind of noticed about your business life is it's not this big master plan. It's
none.
What I'm loving right now is going to become my business. And so Fit Plus, you know, you were already doing the to-go meals and stuff like that for people for fitness and, you know, healthy eating. That became your business.
Yeah.
And then you just expanded on that and made it the cafe.
Yeah.
You know, and then cryptocurrency was your passion and you made it your business.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of one thing I love about you is that it's like, I don't have this big master plan I have to follow, and if it doesn't go right, I'm mad. It's like, dude, I'm passionate about this right now. I'm going to make it my business.
Well, just take up one more minute of your time because you said a master plan. I don't have a plan for anything I do. Absolutely none. Now, when I say I don't have a plan, it doesn't mean I don't write down my goals or, right. or kind of what I want to see the business succeed. But what I do is, as far as like a plan of this business is going to do X, Y, and Z, and if it doesn't, then we failed. There's none. Like, we wing, when I say we, me and my wife,
right.
we wing everything. We have winged parenting. We have winged our business.
Well, you have to wing
parenting. We have winged our marriage. Everything we've done, we've winged, because everything changes. Like, you know, you and your wife are going to change the way you view things. You know, you're going to age. Your viewpoints on things are going to be different.
Absolutely.
And guess what? When you learn to just go with the flow, life is pretty dang good.
Absolutely.
Like, we've come in here before, and this was my fault. Our water got turned off. I switched cell phone numbers, got rid of it because of the alerts coming to my phone to pay the water bill, didn't pay it. So we come here, open up our business one day, and guess what? There's no water. And we're back there just dying laughing about
right.
it. Like, well, it looks like today's going to be a day off.
Well, there's so much pressure relief off of that.
It is.
You
can't take life serious.
Right.
I mean, you have to in serious situations. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to die. And when we die,
none of this is going to matter.
None of this is going to matter.
Right.
So I tell people, just smile, love the ones you're around, enjoy it, make laughs of rough situations if you can.
Oh, yeah.
And just be happy living the now.
That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you, brother. And
I appreciate
nothing
you, man.
But the success for you, man.
Dude, thank you. Same for you.
I love watching you grow. And anybody who is a fan of you, hope they listen and hope they learn a little bit about you. Because you're open on social media, but I feel like maybe we learn some things that aren't on social media.
Yeah, dude, most definitely. I really appreciate you coming in and doing this.
Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, man.
I don't know about you, but I absolutely loved that episode. My first one with somebody outside my circle, outside my people, and I could not have picked a better first person outside of my friends and family that, now I consider him a friend, but couldn't have picked a better one to do with Andy. He is full of life experiences for somebody who I consider to be very young still. He's full of life experiences. Man, to sit here and, you know, hear his daughter or hear him talk about his daughter, Dad, I'm going to buy your time. Man, that would crush me if my Kennedy Bell did that to me. And I just, he had a lot of wisdom in him. And I loved sitting down and getting to talk with him and get to know him. And, you know, Tuck's Take is all about getting to know people and why they are the way they are. And so I've seen Andy on social media over the years and how hard of a worker he is. It's like I said, you know, you think you know somebody, but let's dig deep. Let's get to know you. And I feel like we know him really well now, you know, hearing about the relationship that he had with his dad and how his dad provided, but he wasn't necessarily physically present. And that is why I think Andy is so present with his kids today. And it's just very interesting to see how people turn out because of the relationship that they have with their parents. But like I said at the beginning of the podcast, make sure y'all head over to TuxTakePodcast.com and get your Andy Peters quote t-shirt, because I'm going to have it up very soon. And, you know, got to get that Happy Living the Now t-shirt. And so get over there, get all your merchandise. Make sure you head over to Facebook and like and follow Tux Take Podcast. And make sure you follow us on Instagram, Tux Take. I need your support. I appreciate you guys. And, you know, next episode is going to be Hunter Kaywood. I think I'm saying that right. He is from Ringgold, Georgia. And I know him from going to college with him. But now he lives in Russia. And we're going to get to know a little bit about Russia and what they think about America. And, you know, what his experience is there. I look forward to it. I hope you do too. And I hope you come back for the next episode of Tux Take.